Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and again, a brand new show here on KCIS, show number two of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
How's it going today? Hey, we're good?
Got really good. Hey, really good after last week's show. I feel like I just know a whole lot more than I didn't even know about estate issues and tax planning issues. Who knew this subject was so vast? But obviously it is. But it's something a lot of people don't want to think about. It was kind of what the takeaway from the toward the end of last week's show is, so many people have no estate plan.
Yep.
And you want to kind of dispel that kind of lack of planning in our lives.
Yeah, we really left last week's show with the discussion of most estate plans don't work. And I threw out a very poignant statement. It wasn't a question, it was a statement, because unfortunately it is very true. And we kind of discovered that statistically most people don't do any planning whatsoever, so it's really hard
right.
to have something to work if you're not going to do anything, right? But we also talked about some of the things that are constantly moving in our life, whether it's our family, whether it's our values. Now, I'm not talking our morals. Our morals resting upon the Word of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, that's steady. That's the rock that we build our entire life on. But our morals constantly maneuver in the sense that my values, I said it backwards, didn't I? Yep. You're supposed to stop me right there. So our values as individuals constantly change.
Right.
Meaning, and I gave the example that when I was 40 and my kids were pre-teenagers, that how I view them is different now that I've turned 50 and they're older into college and becoming young adults. That value of how I have adjusted in the past 10 years has moved. And in talking with a lot of clients, I mean, even my parents, we talk about, so do you think when I turn 60, I might have a different view on life again? And of course, their response is, absolutely, yes,
yeah.
Of course. And that's the journey of life, is that we constantly are maneuvering. But not in the journey of life, not only are we moving, but the law is moving, and the taxes are moving. So we have this double-edged sword in estate planning that a traditional estate planner will be more of a document producer, and they will slide a document across and they'll say, you're good to go. But my question is, well, I'm good to go for how long?
Right.
How long until something in my personal life or something in my family life changes and raises to the level that I need to go back to somebody and create a different section, a different plan altogether? Or how long until the law moves and I need to make that fine-tune adjustment? Here, let me give you an example. In April, 2 years ago, I signed a trust with a client of mine. All right. And I think that was the second week of April. So this is how fast things can move. And I went to a conference. I go to an annual conference back in Indianapolis with an organization I'm a part of. It's called the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. And I went there and I learned something that was different that had just changed in the tax law. And I was able to make fine-tune adjustments in my clients' trusts that saved tens of thousands of dollars to their heirs. Now, how about the plan that I had just helped a client sign 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, and I learned something new to help that family save money to their heirs. Do you think that that's something that that client would want to know?
Absolutely.
And yet, the traditional estate planner hands off documents and then puts it back on the client to say, you call me. But the average individual doesn't know when something raises to the level that the plan now needs to be adjusted.
You said the average people put that on the shelf for 20 years.
For 20 years, yeah. So if you use a will, it's almost 20 years before you'll go back to an estate planner to get that document relooked. Now, if individuals use trusts, it's closer to 9 years. There's something different that changes in the mentality when you use a trust instrument versus a will. We'll get into more about that in future shows, about the difference of wills versus trusts. But for now, the issue and kind of the ending place from last show and really the beginning place of today is plans need to be moving and changing because life is moving and changing. So how does a stagnant document keep up with the changes in our life or in the law and in taxes? And the answer is simple. It simply cannot. There is absolutely no way. So in this area of law, and in this area of law specifically, a relationship with your estate planner is really necessary. You need a relationship with an estate planner, someone who is going to have a program and the ability and the administrative know-how of engaging in that relationship versus just giving you a piece of paper. The piece of paper at the end of the day is a great start, so don't get me wrong. Having something is superior over having nothing.
Right.
So we go back to that 50% of America at the age of 65 still has absolutely nothing. That is the worst planning you can do. If there's any wrong type of planning, it's that type of planning to do nothing. So I am not saying that all the work that has been done by extremely intelligent, well-meaning attorneys is useless. That is not anything what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that in this area, a relationship should develop to remain engaged with the attorney so that the professional is able to guide the family in the ever-changing world. The client is the one who knows the family, and I can't do anything without that insight.
Right.
It's impossible. But because it's my life, it's because it's my profession, I watch over the law and taxes, and then I need to be able to input. But if a client disengages from the relationship, or if the attorney disengages from the relationship, I believe that a lot of estate plans won't work because the document simply sits on the shelf and grows old.
Okay, well then what does every person need in their estate plan? Is there one thing that every person needs other than we've broached the subject, everybody needs a plan, that's a
yes.
Start. But okay, so what's one thing that every person needs in an estate
plan?
Yeah,
great question. There's four major documents that every individual absolutely needs in an estate plan. The first one is either a will or a trust. That's the disposition document. So if I die, then this is what's going to happen with my accounts, with my house, with my vehicles, with my personal property, life insurance, and the list goes on. So everyone needs a will or a trust. And as a matter of fact, when we talk about estate planning, that's one of the first things people think about is, well, I die. But estate planning has to be far more than when I die. Estate planning is really about the individual first. See, my job as an attorney is to protect my client first. Then, when I lose my client, I can turn my attention towards protecting the next generation, but not until my client is no longer here. So my first job then is protect my client. And how I do that are with a couple other documents. Every person needs a financial power of attorney. That is a document that says if I am unable to manage my financial affairs, and for one reason or another, that can be because of a physical issue, it can be because of a mental issue. So the word incapacitation is what we use often associated with a financial power of attorney. But I don't want to be so narrow because that brings up the thought that I have to mentally not be able to do something, but that may not be the circumstance. We may need assistance and yet we can think clearly and make our own decisions. So it's the financial power of attorney needs to be a little more broad to capture that in any circumstance that I am unable to manage my finances, that someone else is empowered to step in and have access to my bank accounts, be able to work with my financial advisor to keep my investments moving forward in the same like manner that I have designed, be able to sell a home if I am not going to return to my home and I've made a decision or the family's made a decision to go to a different place. So therefore, the financial power of attorney is really document number two that every person needs. And document number three is very similar to that, which is a medical power of attorney. There might be a time when I'm unable to communicate my desires to the individuals who are taking care of me, doctors. So if I'm sitting in an emergency room, it could be very difficult for me to comprehend what is happening, or I may not even be able to respond at that time. So I need a medical power of attorney. Now, with both of those powers of attorney, there's the misconception that the ring on the finger is enough power to make people move. Okay? By law, that is not true. See, what happens is that if I'm up in an emergency room and my wife, Mariana, walks in and she connects with the doctor, that's my husband, he needs my input, and the doctor says, this is what we've assessed, and this is the direction that we want to move, and my wife goes, okay, then let's go that direction. Well, she wasn't giving any advice or utilizing any power or authority. She was confirming what the doctor did. And so when that happens, doctors are happy just to keep moving with the practice.
Sure.
But what if my wife goes, that's not what Paul would want? I know that that is exactly opposite of what my husband desires. At that point, a doctor, because they're protected by their own attorneys. See, attorneys screw everything up. We just have attorneys representing other people and attorneys.
So that's why everything costs so much.
That's why everything is too complicated. It's all the attorney's fault. So, but eventually, when the doctor hears my wife say, that's not the direction I want you to move, they will step back and say, show me that I have to listen to you. And she can't raise her hand and say, see that?
Right.
See that bling? That's what my authority is. Mm-hmm. Nope, they're going to want to have a legal document to allow her to speak on my behalf. And the last one then is an end-of-life document. And we'll get right back to that last document in just a second.
Okay, very interesting information today. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, estate and tax planner. Brand new show here on KCIS. Very interesting discussion this week. We'll talk more about what every person needs in their estate plan here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant, and I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Builders, where business meets faith. Kingdom Builders is a one-day event to help Christian business owners focus on walking in faith and fulfilling their 2018 goals. We will be discussing topics such as, what is my dual calling as a Christian business owner? How do I capture what God's vision is for my business? What does it mean to use faith as a business owner? How do I grow my business using biblical principles? Am I being faithful with my finances as my business succeeds? There will also be practical discussions concerning business ownership, proper legal structure, tax implications, leadership principles, and many other topics. We hope you will set aside your day and join us as we prepare for an amazing 2018. Presented by the Legacy and Faith Show, Planning with Purpose, and Canyon Creek Church on Saturday, March 10th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Canyon Creek Church in Mill Creek. To register for this free Kingdom Builders event, please visit my website at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Who knew there was so much purpose in estate planning? Tax issues. We're finding out with Paul Grant, brand new show here on KCIS, the Legacy and Faith Show. Just before the break, we were talking about what every person needs in their estate plan. And I asked the question off the air, Paul. You talked about a financial power of attorney, the medical power of attorney. I always heard the term durable power of eternity is eternity.
Durable. Yes. Well, yeah. That's appropriate for this show.
That's
right?
Where the faith part comes in. durable power of attorney.
Yeah.
Now, what does that term mean? Is that kind of the all-encompassing document, or?
So most documents that utilize that name are talking more about this last issue, but they combine them.
Okay.
So it's really about the end of life document.
Okay.
So there's two different places where I see the term durable. And what it really means, Mark, is that durable means that I am not going to have this interrupted by any type of incapacitation.
Okay.
This is going to stand the test of time with my signature. So that could actually be on my financial power of attorney. It could be on my medical. And then it could also be in my end-of-life decisions. So, yes, it can encompass them all. But I think it was really a older style of document producing that we combined all of those documents into one.
Okay.
And instead of having one document to speak to the financial, the medical, and the end of life, we're now beginning to separate those and have standalone documents for each of these issues. Because if I need financial help, that may not mean I need medical help or vice versa. So therefore, we create standalone documents for each one of these issues, and the word durable will still be in each of those documents, meaning I want this document to survive time. So then we come back to kind of the last document that we haven't talked too much about yet, which is that end-of-life document. So we covered that we need a will or a trust. We need a financial power of attorney. We need a medical power of attorney, and now end-of-life document. So the end-of-life document should be very narrow. It should not be a broad document. The definition should be very specific to having that if I have an incurable injury, disease, or illness, and it has rendered me to be permanently unconscious, and death is imminent. So we're talking really the natural person would understand that I'm going to pass away at this point, okay? When we reach that definition, then the hospital and our loved ones need direction. We don't want to leave this critical decision on the shoulders of a spouse or upon our children. It is already difficult enough to lose someone that we love. We don't need to add on top of it no voice of how I would want to be taken care of if I met that definition. But yet, we go back to the I've done no planning problem. And we don't speak to this issue. And I cannot tell you that how many times I have clients that I help through this process for themselves. And we get to this discussion of end of life. And it happens over and over and over that I had to do this for my parent. I remember doing this for my parent. And do you know the emotions that it conjures up when we start talking about this? Because they didn't have clear direction from their parent. They didn't know what their parents wanted. So the burden of the choice was left on their shoulders. And it's our human nature to then struggle with the conflict of, do I let somebody go or do I want to keep fighting for them? Instead of us, again, being proactive and engaging in the process to clearly give our intent at a most critical and pivotal time to help our family. See, estate planning is really about assisting those we leave behind.
Correct.
It does help me because I want to make sure I'm protected. In the sense that if my bills need to be paid, I've appropriately set the right person in charge of my finances. Or if I'm unable to communicate to my financial planner, that would be a really, really bad time for my financial plan to get completely derailed. So there is a self-protection inherent in estate planning. But I think most people walk into my office saying, I want to do estate planning so that I can get my stuff to the right person. And I challenge us that it's more than that. It's about making sure that the process of that and the process of assisting us and the process of us maybe in our last days being as smooth and peaceful for those around us as it is for us. And that's what good estate planning will always do. It'll bring peace to the process. Every client wants an easy and smooth transition. I hear it over and over, right? So if something happened to me, I want to make sure that my wife has as smooth of a process as possible that I leave them.
Well, so many people want to avoid the subject. I don't want to think about death. I don't want to think about a will.
That's why
you say half the people don't even have an estate plan. But it's a very loving and responsible thing to do, to have an estate plan, again, like you say, for those who are left behind.
Absolutely. And I talk to people over and over, and some people just never engage. And I always struggle with that a little bit. Because is it something that I did not properly communicate as the attorney? Did I confuse somebody? Did they interpret that I'm trying to sell them a product? Here's your document. You need to sign here and pay me blank many dollars. But I think what I've learned over the course of my law firm and being an attorney is that what you said is very true. Some people just emotionally and mentally can't engage. Now, as Christians, I would encourage us to find our peace and our rest in Christ, correct? So if we go to the very basics of Christianity, have we given our lives to Jesus Christ? Have we called upon the mercy of Jesus being our Lord and Savior? Have we rested upon the final and absolute work of the cross of Jesus? Have we made a confession that Jesus is our Lord, and have we understood that His mercy is upon us and that it is a stamp of what Ephesians says, that He has given us the seal of His Holy Spirit? And based upon that, I can find peace with God knowing that my eternity is well secure. Say,
that's the heavenly estate plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody wants to hit that.
And so we got to start there. Right? And so we start there as believers. But that hopefully then translates and helps us walk the journey of being able to then talk about the practical aspects of this issue, which is my salvation is secure. So now let me leave a legacy that is secure. Let me make sure that my planning is secure for those that I leave behind. And so hopefully as Christians, we have a leg up on other people because we can find peace to face the journey of our own mortality because it's been bought with the most precious price already. It's already done. So therefore, knowing that, we can take a step forward and engage in estate planning.
Yeah. Well, this is a very big subject, and I know we're coming to the end of our broadcast today. Is there, if somebody's on the fence, I don't know how people could be, about the importance of having an estate plan, how would you encourage them this week to get past that 50% mark where so many people don't even do anything? What are the first steps to maybe, okay, I've decided I need to get on the ball, I need to engage, as you say.
Well, that can open up a whole different topic, and we'll save it for another time for this one issue, which is do-it-yourselfers.
So you would not recommend the internet will?
No, let's try to stay away from that for a moment. So doing something is always going to be better than nothing, and that kind of goes back to what we talked about our last show, which is let's engage mm-hmm. in the process. Let's engage somehow, some way. So we know, as I just said, that we are secure. So let's find the emotional and mental capacity. Let's put it in our calendars to begin to take steps forward. How do you do that? Find an attorney you trust. Find somebody who can help guide you through this process. Because as you've already said, this is more complicated than what people really believe. People come to me and say, I just want a simple will. everything within me fights from saying there is no such thing. This is more complicated than what we believe it is. But a very competent, caring attorney can help you through the process. So as Christians, we should start praying. We should start seeing the vision of how we would want to leave things to our family. And even if we don't have very much, even if we don't have a lot of financial resources, maybe I've shown you that you are your most valuable possession, so you are well worth doing estate planning for yourself. So find somebody you can trust, and let's take the first step together.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planner, the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS. Who knew this subject had so many issues that we need to consider? People are enjoying this program. We've just found out that these will be available as a podcast, both on your website, which is?
Which is legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com, and also at kcisradio.com. You'll have a page there as well where people can listen to past programs. This is program number two, and I feel like we're just beginning to scratch the surface.
Just barely, aren't
we? Some
of
the things. Upcoming shows, we'll be talking about probate and some of the other issues we hear a lot about, living trusts.
Yep, trusts, wills. We'll get more into the weeds as we talk, as we keep going.
Okay, Paul Grant, again, your website?
LegacyandFaith.com.
LegacyandFaith.com. Another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at LegacyandFaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.